I think there's only one way to settle the NBA Finals, and it doesn't require the conference finalists to play one another. We do this 80s arcade style, a joust between a warrior riding a clipper ship and a cavalier astride a giant hawk. I don't know about ratings, but I'd pump 100 quarters into that game.
Live from Monster Dome, deep underneath and yet somehow still five stories above Austin, Texas, this is Inside the Locker, the geekiest sportscast you've ever heard.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another splendiferous episode of Inside the Locker here on oneofus.net. This is the weekly sportscast for geeks, by geeks, and under Zod. I am your host, Brian Salisbury, head conspirator of Instigate-gate. And I am joined by the best starting lineup this side of the 07 Celtics or Bendis' new Avengers, JC DeLeon.
What's up?
We got Elliot Fontanette.
Haven't seen Mad Max, still pissed about it.
Yeah, you should be. That movie's amazing.
Let's stop the show.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, guys. We got to go see Fury Road.
Most of us haven't seen it, apparently.
All right. We got to go see Fury Road. So I'm glad. I hope you guys enjoyed this very brief show. We're going to go watch cars smash into each other at irresponsible speed.
What a lovely day.
What a lovely, lovely day. And what a lovely, lovely, lovely advantage to have Adam Beef Nuggets Charles on the show. Good. All right.
Is that what's going
on? Awesome.
Did you have like a... Well,
seriously,
damn it.
Man, these freaking Austin allergies, dude, I swear to God.
Yeah, I don't know why it's so much worse in this city than anywhere else.
I thought you were having a hernia check.
Turn your head and cough, Adam. Turn your head and cough.
I tell you, just as a piece of anecdotal advice, I don't know if it's going to work for you, but Stacey used to have horrible allergies, but she got the drops things.
The Austin allergy thing?
That shit works.
Apparently, it's like you put like two drops under your tongue for like a period of like a month or something like that, and then everything, you're cured of life.
You're cured of life.
You're cured for life.
She really doesn't have allergies anymore.
It kills you? You're cured of life?
Isn't that just death Thanos?
Yeah, I think it is.
I'm coming down with some life.
Gotta cough up all this life.
I wonder if that's what Jesus said when he was born. I'm coming down with life.
Coming down with
this
life.
This is gonna be hard 33 years.
Coming down with what? With life. That's with what. Well, I want to remind you that this show and all of that brilliance right there can be found on iTunes as well as on Stitcher. You can also follow us on Twitter at ITLcast. Like the website on Facebook, facebook.com/oneofusnet. And please do consider becoming a subscriber. That's how we keep being able to bring you this content. And we also have some more exclusive content just for subscribers on the way. Well, we have a lot to talk about today. We got some things going on with the NBA playoffs, you might say. A few events, a few things have transpired. We have Tom Brady's official punishment from the NFL following Deflategate, which we're going to talk about and feature a very special appearance from our own version of Boston Rob. And throughout the whole game, now I put a poll out on Twitter, and I did it in the most...
You didn't take a picture of your dick again, did you?
Again?
Not my dick. Okay. But anyway, so I put this poll out on Twitter, and I did it in the most professional way possible, meaning I did it 20 minutes before we were going to record. What? You still laughing at the my dick thing?
No, you said poll.
That's a way Homer
I put
guy.
A question out on Twitter. A survey, if you will.
He goes
a
fishing.
Census. Not a poll. Not a poll at all. Asking them, you know, I was like, you know, I really want to play a game on the show as we've been doing, but I don't know which one because we've created so many, like so many, you know, interesting exclusive games that we've created. What would you guys like to see us play? And overwhelmingly, the answer was Cards Against Humanity. So not one of our games at all, but we're going to play it anyway. So we're going as we're going through the news topics, as we're going through some things that that JC would like to talk about, we are going to be dropping in. I've given everybody their cards. I'm going to be coming up with a prompt, and then I'll send it off to the next person for them to come up with a prompt that will have nothing to do with the black cards in the box, but everything to do with the sports headlines of today. So let's jump right into this and talk about the NBA playoffs. So, JC, the NBA playoffs are kind of getting real.
Yeah, the conference finals are mostly set. Eastern Conference is going to be Cleveland versus Atlanta, kind of like it seemed all along. It looked like the Wizards.
Oh, that was
they were. Yeah,
that was heartbreaking.
That last minute three pointer.
We couldn't handle the truth.
By Paul Pierce was ruled too late. After the clock had struck zero.
Just a second too late.
I call it disappointment.
I call disappointment.
Yeah. Paul Pierce is one of those dudes that I've always liked and always admired, and I kind of wanted that moment for him, but at the same time, I was like, well, he had two other moments this series.
It's been all his fucking moments. Yeah. Throughout the entire playoffs, it's been the fucking Paul Pierce show.
Yeah.
Although he did get to go, I didn't call bank, I called game.
Yeah, and then he shot himself in the foot the next game, saying he, when he did the same thing, called he turned around and called series. And that would have tied up the series, not won it.
But, well, yeah. You know.
But that would have broke him like LeBron broke Chicago when he got his buzzer beater.
If Paul Pierce had written the Benny King song, it would have been called These Magic Moments. There are several to choose from. Yeah, he's had a lot of great moments in this series.
When you made that reference, I thought you were going Legend of Billie Jean King.
No. Not Billie Jean King, not B.B. King, rest in peace, but Benny King, also rest in peace. We lost Benny King and B.B. King this week.
Yeah,
how fucking weird is that?
I thought it was actually the same headline twice, unfortunately, yeah. And then I was like, oh, that king.
We're losing more kings than the first season of Game of Thrones, guys. Seriously, what is going on?
You know nothing, Brian Salisbury.
I don't. At all. But so, we got the Eastern Conference set, which is really disappointing to me because as much as I think the Hawks have had a great season, and I want to talk about, you know, want kind of an overview in just a second of what this means to this year altogether, I don't see them being able to stop Cleveland. So in effect, since the Wizards didn't win, I think Cleveland just has like a red carpet into the finals now.
Yeah, Atlanta's really injured. They've rested on the laurels of their hot shooting throughout the entire year, and this postseason all of a sudden they can't shoot anymore. Which is strange. Cleveland's going to go on through a little bit of that too. Like, Cleveland beat Chicago. LeBron had one of his worst shooting series, I mean, maybe in his career. He shot way under 50%, which is not usual for him. Just very inefficient, a lot of turnovers. He had that one legendary type game, which he seems to, now at this point in his career, seems to get one of those a year.
The chase down block?
Yeah, and he had the chase
down block. That shit was awesome.
Yeah. In that game, that was it's kind of one of those moments where I was like, all right, this is either going to be like his Game 6 and Game 7 against Celtics in 2010, or he's going to be average like he has been. So, you know, I'm glad he came through for that one astonishing game.
True story. And now on the other side of things, we have a Game 7. We have one finalist, conference-wise, yet to be decided.
Yeah.
Because Houston apparently refused to die.
Yeah.
Like the fucking T-100. Like, they just would not go down. And they forced a Game 7 with the Clippers, which, to me, is fucking astonishing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's one of those amazing moments. Everyone likes to... A lot of people like to argue with me during the season, because it's like, no, Harden's a better MVP candidate than Curry. Well, Rockets made that comeback with Harden on the bench. Didn't play a single second.
Yeah.
Came back from 19 down, outscored him 41-15 in that fourth quarter.
Maybe because Harden seems like he doesn't understand how an offense runs.
Yeah.
Or a defense.
Yeah. He looks like my older sister used to play basketball when she was in elementary school, and we had this one player, Heather, who would just keep the ball and just dribble down to the middle, get stuck, pass it out, and then demand the ball back. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was watching that again with Harden. He's just like, I'm just gonna battle the ball and they have big guys in the middle. I can't just sort of go past everybody.
Yeah, and it's another kind of one of those moments for a guy that I kind of like. Like, I've always liked Josh Smith. I've always liked watching him play. He's kind of one of those fringe guys. He's been an all-star once or twice, but just a dude that I like playing because good defensive player, really exciting. So I was happy for him. I still really want Chris Paul versus Steph Curry just because throughout the regular season, they had so many great battles, and so to see them, and they don't like each other for one. It'll be
really.
Oh yeah, the Christmas, not this past year, but the year before, there was like four or five ejections.
Nice.
As a finesse team as most Western Conference teams are, including the Warriors, they don't like the Clippers, and it comes out.
But when that happens, I like to think that's of it less awesome. As they were ejected from the game as they were added to the naughty list.
Right.
that's what I like to pretend to happen.
But yeah, and for the Warriors, it does look like the prophecy of Steph Curry the Magnificent, that legend is going to be fulfilled soon. So
you think if the Warriors get to the championship and Cleveland gets there, you think he can take LeBron?
Cleveland's not very good defensively.
God, what a showdown, though. What a fucking showdown.
It would come down to Iman Shumpert having to shut down Curry and possibly LeBron having to shut down Thompson, and if he can do that, then Cleveland has a shot. But Cleveland has to be able to shoot.
Was it, if Cleveland wins, and I'm not saying I think they will, I think this is Golden State's year, will LeBron be canonized at that point?
He will be, and it's kind of an unfortunate thing because people forget. People always want to compare LeBron to Michael Jordan, and I mean, he wears number 23, and that was probably one of his.
Yeah, he did it to himself.
No.
Right, but he's even said he considers himself more like Magic Johnson, and people forget throughout Magic Johnson's career, went to 9 NBA Finals.
Yeah,
only won 4 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, 5. Five. Right?
Well, and you got to give him one because he played against Jordan, and Jordan kept an entire generation of stars from winning a championship.
Yeah, I think it was the last one. I think that they.
Yeah.
It was. They played Detroit right back to back. Yeah. That was who Detroit beat in their back to back series, mm-hmm. and I think it was LA's last year that Magic Johnson went.
That's the year where Jordan has the highlight where he's like switching hands in midair.
Right.
For no reason. I'm just going to do this just for the poster.
Right. Yeah. Just for the poster.
I mean, that was like on the tail end of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's. Yeah. Like, he was on his way out after 80 years.
But in all deference to Magic Johnson, he is still 1-0 against AIDS. So, I mean, that's kind of a record.
That fight's still happening.
Money is 1-0 against AIDS. Jesus Christ. There's actually, like, this horrible conspiracy that, like, back in the 80s, because AIDS had such a stigma that George Bush, the first one, the non-dumbass, even though he had a dumbass son, deal with it.
Non-dumbass the first.
Yeah. The first of his name. That he, like, convinced Magic Johnson to, like, say he had HIV. And that he really didn't, just so that the stigma would go away. Hmm. Because if you look at it, that stigma went away really fast after Magic Johnson announced that he had it.
Yeah. Yeah, but like how could they possibly keep that under wraps? You know what I mean?
He's motherfucker's still alive, and he doesn't look like he ever had a problem. It's just you're running marathons, man. Okay.
Well, you know, that's a good point, I guess.
I mean, I know it's a stupid conspiracy.
But it is a stupid conspiracy.
I've always wondered what it is about the NBA that breeds so many conspiracy theories. Like, from all wakes of life. Like,
and it's I will believe that Adam Silver is Nosferatu. I will believe that until the day I die, because the guy looks exactly like Max Schreck vampire movie.
He has like an Edward Cullen thing going on where he just stays in the NBA to hit on NBA players. Say it.
Sup, girl.
You're the commissioner.
You're the commissioner. Creepy. So the Hawks are going to their very first conference finals ever. It's the first time the Warriors have been there since...
Chris Mullin?
1976.
76.
Something like that.
I think the Clippers, if they get in, it'll be their first time as a franchise. I mean, in Cleveland? Like, seriously, think about this. Let's say the Clippers pull it out. It'll be the Clippers, the Warriors,
Jesus Christ,
the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Atlanta Hawks. That's like if your drunk uncle picked the four teams that were going to be left at the end of the season, at the beginning of the season.
Damn,
would have believed that.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about like if you had told me this back in like 95, I'd have been like, get the fuck out of my room.
Right, you would have been like, some of those aren't even teams, are they? Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know.
It's something like since 1990, it'll be the first final since 1998 that didn't feature like some combination of, I mean, LeBron still might
get Lakers.
But like LeBron, Kobe, Duncan, I forget who else, but just like a whole list of names. Like since 1998, there's been roughly the same teams that make it.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, which has honestly been the reason why basketball has always been at arm, or at least the last few years has been at arm's length with me, because I don't feel like there's any drama. I don't feel like there's any surprise. And this year, it's like the four teams remaining in and of themselves are a surprise.
I think with the way social media works, like, because it's a lot of the big markets that kept being successful, and I think now the way salary cap rules are structured, like some free agents, like in order to make the most money, you have to stay with the team that you're already on. And so, like, I think, like Kevin Love, for example, and even Dwight Howard a few years ago. Like, if Dwight Howard wanted to stay with the Lakers...
You mean Punk McPunky Punk?
Yeah. Dwight Howard could have made more money by staying with the Lakers, sacrificed almost $30 million because he was so unhappy, went to Houston. Kevin Love might be in a similar situation. If he's so unhappy in Cleveland, he's going to sacrifice $20 to $25 million.
What is he unhappy about? Like, he knew what the fuck this was.
It's one of those things. I think people are... It's all conjecture, and I think people just assume he's unhappy because his numbers went down. I don't necessarily know if that's true.
He got boshed.
I think he'll give Cleveland one more shot just to make up that money he might lose, and then after that, he might bolt.
That's probably at this moment his best chance to win a championship. I mean, it's not like... When Dwight Howard left the Lakers, that team was not exactly a good team, especially competing in the Western Conference.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he decided to leave to go for a potentially better team and a better situation for himself. If Kevin Love leaves Cleveland, he's probably going for a better situation for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he's going to some other championship contender.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so predictions as far as who do you think goes to the finals, and then under that prediction, who do you think wins the finals?
If it was a healthy Cleveland team, I probably would say Cleveland. If for no other reason, because I think they're the team coming in with the most experience with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I think that goes a long way. Plus, they're the team that I think is if they weren't injured, they probably would have been the team that would have been less tested. I think their series against Atlanta is going to go about maybe five, possibly six games. But if LA gets into if it's LA and Golden State in the Western Conference, I think that's going to be a bloodbath of games. You know, mm-hmm. like it's gonna. I think they're gonna wear each other out, and by the time they get to face the Eastern Conference champion, it's gonna be kind of difficult.
Like a war of attrition.
Yeah, like I mean, they would have, you know, they would have gone seven rounds, or they would have gone a full 15 rounds, like back and forth, and then they have to go and fight somebody else.
Yeah, and without like waiting 6 years, and without headlocks,
right? Exactly.
It'd be a good fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I think, but since Cleveland actually doesn't seem that. Completely that healthy, I think LA. I think Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan kind of realize that if it's going to happen for them, that I think this is the year it's going to happen, and I think that's going to be on the forefront
mm-hmm.
for them. So I think if they get past Houston tonight, I really do think that they go in, and I think they're just a much more well-rounded team
mm.
than anybody in the Eastern Conference.
Well, like Blake Griffin has really worked on his jumper these last few years.
He's been a fucking beast this entire playoffs. It's been the Blake Griffin show.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Elliot?
Rise of the African. let's see. I got to go with Adam on this. It's like, as far as the Western Conference goes, I think Golden State got a little exposed against Memphis and first team all defense Tony Allen, which fucking awesome moment. I think if you can just pester them, they get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And if things just don't flow for Golden State. And I think it will be a slog and I really do think the Clippers are going to beat Houston, but hey, shit happens. Like, if the Clippers beat Houston tonight, I think they go to the finals, but I think experience is going to win out, and I think Cleveland's going to take it, just because I think LeBron, he's so close to it. And one of the things about players like LeBron and Jordan and Magic, and because there's very few of those players in the league right now. I mean, there's really great players. Mm. Like Steph Curry is a great player. He's not that level yet. He's not that level where he can just turn it on and put them on his back and he just has it. And I think LeBron can do that. And I think if he's like all the emotions tied up and coming back to Cleveland, if he can get a championship the first season,
mm-hmm.
like that's some like archetypal hero stuff. Like Robert Redford's going to be shedding a tear on the sides, like he's a natural.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, hypothetically speaking, let's say that the Cavaliers do actually pull it out. Where do you think this actually would put LeBron in the realm of all time greats?
Well, I think his the shit with Miami just goes away. I think the decision doesn't mm-hmm. get talked about again because he made good at that point. I mean, I would put him probably at number four, behind Jordan, behind
Magic and Bird,
behind Magic and Bird. And then right before Kobe.
Yeah. It's still got a long way to go to catch Jordan. I don't think one more title. Although it will be impressive if he did it with another team. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Elliot, I want to agree with the outcome of what you said, but for a different reason as far as Steph Curry goes. I think the Clippers beat the Warriors. And I think they beat them because they're going to have such a chip on their shoulder letting Houston get to his seventh game.
Mm.
But I do think Steph Curry is the kind of player who can turn it on and put an entire team on his back. The reason I don't think that's going to help him is because I actually think he's been called on to do that too much this mm-hmm. season. I really do think that, because when you said if things aren't gelling for Golden State, and really what you meant was if Curry's not shooting well.
That's true.
Because that's what the things are with that team. It's the one thing.
It's like if Curry and Clay.
Yeah, it's like the one thing. And if that's not on, then I see Curry like just getting worn out because he has to carry the whole team against the Clippers, and the Clippers have a way more well-rounded bench.
And who's that big guy they got in the middle? DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah. Motherfucker looks angry.
Yeah.
Just like, here you go, sir. Here's the ball.
I'm frightfully sorry to have crossed your path, but I think it ends up being Cleveland and the Clippers in the finals, and I think the Clippers take it. I think this is a situation where Doc Rivers is the one who proves he can win with multiple teams, not LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I mean, either way, any team who wins out of the four or five, as long as it's not fucking Houston, fuck Houston. Fuck them. And I'm from Houston, so fuck it. Actually, I was born in New Orleans, and Houston, here's where I hate Houston. It has no fucking personality. It just says, oh, Mardi Gras, that's a thing. We're on the golf course. We're on the Gulf Coast. We're going to fucking charge admission to Mardi Gras. What the shit is that? Fucking Houston. Ugh.
So as long I like as, this. This is a let it flow through you, Elliot.
As long as anybody but Houston wins, I will be happy for any team. Because like Doc Rivers and you got the African. What's his damn name?
Blake Griffin,
Chris Paul. You got Steph Curry in Golden State. You got the Hawks and the amazing white boys on the Hawks. What's his name? Culver, I think his name is?
Kyle Culver.
Ashton Kutcher.
Looks like Brandon Routh.
He does, actually. Apparently looks like everybody. Yeah. Looks like every failed white actor from 1999.
Well, he has that, like, hair thing going on where it's like, did you wake up in 1996? Is that what happened?
The Hawks star player right now is such an asshole that I've taken to calling him Teague Bag. So,
you know, I may be wrong on this only because I'm not as familiar with Atlanta, but it does seem like Houston is the team that, more than any of the others, is patched together from players from other teams.
They
have, I don't think most of those, at least the star players for sure, weren't drafted by those teams.
Well, they were. Yeah, they made the midseason moves of acquiring Corey Brewer and Josh Smith, who were the ones that came up big in the last game. And so, yeah, at the time, I was like, "This is big time for Houston." I like both of these guys. Not a big fan of Houston. All season long, I've been calling them fool's gold. I didn't think they would make it out of the second round. So, I mean, I still hope that doesn't happen. But yeah. And, I mean, even if it is Houston versus Golden State, that would be interesting, too, because then it'll be the MVP matchup that everybody wanted.
Oh, that's true.
And once and for all, Steph Curry will obliterate the shit.
He'll just come up with some scissors and just cut the fucking beard off.
He'll just stand over him like, I want you to know, Harden. I want you to know that I was the one that beat you.
See, when you said, I want you to know, I thought you were going for the Selena Gomez Zed joke. He's like, I want you to know.
Yes, because I routinely make Selena Gomez references on this show.
Hey, get away.
I will if you don't stop talking about Selena Gomez.
But my overall prediction...
pain.
I mean, rooting with my heart, I'm obviously hoping that LeBron pulls it out and wins. But I think it's going to be Golden State. Mm. And I mean, yeah, LeBron's going to be canonized for going to another finals and losing to another Western Conference team, but it... I mean, if he does win, I think it would be his most impressive of the three championships. I think his most impressive finals run is the very first one, in which he ended up Cleveland? Getting swept by San Antonio because he led a pack of scrubs to San Antonio. And I don't know how he did it.
It's like JD and Turk on the team.
Yeah, he single-handedly beat Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen. Single-handedly. By himself.
Yeah. And yeah, like just kind of, and even when they were losing that one game against the Bulls, I was like, I'm just going to watch highlights of 2010 LeBron versus the Celtics.
This is sad.
Yeah.
Although, can we talk about Derrick Rose's son has the best eyebrow game of anybody ever?
Yeah, between him and Anthony Davis. Just like...
Are you sure it's not Anthony Davis's kid?
We may want to look into some paternity tests.
I'm just saying, there's a mighty... similar eyebrows there, sir. Yeah.
I want to move on to talk a little bit about... interestingly, we had a fan on Twitter asking, who said, you know, I'm starting to become an NBA fan, and he had some really interesting questions. So I want to give JC a chance to answer those questions. But first, we have our first Cards Against Humanity prompt, gentlemen. And that prompt is as follows. If Cleveland does not win the NBA Finals this year, the entire city will feel worse than...
Oh, I got
blank.
Mine. I got mine.
talking, not dead.
Filler, not dead air at all, because the people are singing and standing tall. Oh, you've already put the card in front of me. I didn't see it. No need for the filler song. Dip, dead air, no more. All right, so if the Cavaliers don't win the finals this year, the entire city of Cleveland will feel worse than... a snapping turtle biting the tip of your penis?
Ooh.
They will feel worse. Bad. Yeah, that would be. They will feel worse than women's suffrage. I don't think you're using the word suffrage correctly in this case.
I don't think you know what that means.
Or they will feel worse than Pac-Man uncontrollably guzzling cum. I'm going boom with women's suffrage just because it was a terrible answer, but led to the best laugh of this round. So
that was me. I know what suffrage means. It was the joke.
I know what suffrage is. Bitches be crazy. All right. So JC, these questions you got from Mr. James Fikes, I believe his name is.
Yeah.
Some of them are really complicated, more opinion type things. Some of them are just basic terminology in basketball. Like he asked, "What's a triple double?" So, JC, for anyone listening at home who doesn't know, what's a triple double?
Triple double is.
Can I get one at McDonald's?
Yeah, you beat me to the joke.
I think you used to.
I'm pretty sure that's
that used to be a sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the dive that Rodney Dangerfield did in Back to School, right?
Yes.
Okay. So a triple-double is when a player in a single game gets double digits in three categories. Most commonly, it's points, rebounds, and assists. It can be really anything. Points, rebounds, steals, points, rebounds, blocks. It could be points, rebounds, turnovers. That's a bad triple-double.
That's a triple negative.
That's a triple.
Yeah.
A James Harden triple-double.
There have been...
Actually, at that point, doesn't that triple take away the triple of another triple?
Yeah.
Are we doing fractions?
Take away the double of another triple?
Dude, what are you... You're breaking my brain. Slow down, Adam.
There have been, in the history of the NBA, less than 10 quadruple-doubles. I think Hakeem Olajuwon has two of them.
Jesus.
David Robinson might have one where it's... points, rebounds, blocks, and assists. But yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also asked you, do you really think Steph Curry deserved the MVP? I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, just from the basic counting statistics point of view, like James Harden put up more points per game, but Curry had more assists. Even from an analytical standpoint, you can look at the impact Steph Curry has on defense if you go deep inside the numbers. Which I don't recommend a basketball novice to do because those numbers can be confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just from every standpoint, I guess, except for total points per game. But even then, points per game can be explained because Harden puts up so many shots and he shoots less efficiently. He also shoots way more free throws. Harden has this really annoying way of creating contact. And people argue with me and they say that, well, LeBron does the same thing. No, LeBron doesn't exactly. LeBron heads to the basket not intending to make contact. People wrap him up because that's the only way they can stop him. James Harden intentionally bumps into you, creates the contact, and the referee is like, well, shit, we have to call a foul on the other guy. So it's the reason why Harden shoots 20 free throws per game.
Hmm. Interesting.
So apparently an effective strategy, just kind of a shitty one.
Yeah.
It's not unsuccessful. It just makes you a cock.
Yeah.
So he also asks, how many divisions or conferences are there?
Off the top of my head, I think there's
three divisions. I think it's three divisions.
Yeah, three divisions, four divisions per conference.
Because it's not like the NFL where there are four divisions in each conference.
Yeah, it's a weird thing because the only purpose divisions serve is for playoff seeding. So like, the Spurs had the same record as the Rockets, but since the Rockets won the division because of a tiebreaker, the Spurs ended up with the sixth seed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas And so that's really the only purpose the divisions serve. Like there's talk about eliminating the divisions, and just kind of reseeding the tournament through more basic methods. So the divisions aren't as important. I wouldn't concern yourself with those.
I also like the way that there's not a uniformity in the divisions the way there is in the NFL. So like, for example, in the Eastern Conference, you have the Southeast, the Atlantic, and the Central. But in the Western, you have the Northwest, the Southwest, and the Pacific. So it's not they're not mirror images of each other.
Yeah.
There's not north, south, east, west, or central, south, west. It's just like, okay, this is the Southwest, but over here in this conference, it's the Southeast. Like, yeah. So.
And like in baseball and football, the conferences are really important because of the playoffs, and you're always, even like we were joking earlier before we were recording, talking because I was looking at the Cubs stats, and the Cubs are playing really well this year, but they're still three games behind the leader in their division. Which means that the Cubs have to hope for the wild card, which, as well as they're playing, seems kind of bullshit to me.
You know what else they could hope for is to have a good season for the many months that separate us from the baseball playoffs.
Yeah, they could just call Mario and Luigi and get that plumbing shit worked out. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, the one thing that I will say that I really do like about the NBA playoffs, even though I don't agree with the way the seedings work, is that I think for the most part, the correct teams get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
It seems like every single year the correct teams get into the playoffs because it's the top half of each conference, basically, that makes the playoffs.
And it's the interesting thing about, like, baseball and basketball, and even hockey to a certain extent, or maybe not so much hockey, because hockey's got a little bit more randomness to it.
Because fuck hockey?
Over a seven-game series, like, you really can't argue who was a better team over a seven-game series. Like, you could split hairs in the end, but, I mean, if it takes seven games...
You could literally split three games apiece, and then... Yeah,
I mean, in the end, it over seven games...
It doesn't leave doubt.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Because, like, that's something in March Madness. I mean, a Cinderella team can get lucky and take down Duke because Duke was having an off day and they didn't get laid last night or something. They're pissed.
Y'all, the Duke! Hey, number one! Sorry, I watched Escape from New York yesterday.
I was about to say, did you drift from Cosby to...
No, that's Donald Pleasance at the end of Escape from New York with the machine gun. Y'all, the Duke! Hey, number one! Ah!
And I don't know if I necessarily would want to see basketball actually do this, but I do agree that for the most part... When teams play over a seven-game series, the team that wins four of them, the team that would win four would probably be the better team, but after experiencing how the World Cup works to some degree and how soccer works, I do like the... And this would probably never work with basketball, but I do like how there is the cumulative scoring from, like, game-to-game kind of thing. Like, if you beat your opponent three games
like
by, by 20, and you lose three games by one... Then it's not. I mean, and then you lose the fourth game by another one. Like the point differential between the seven games is still massively in the losing team's favor.
But wouldn't that invite more injuries? Because like you'd have to keep players in during garbage time.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah, I agree. So like, I mean, there's definitely strategy in knowing that you know what, this isn't our night. Let's just move on, kind of thing, and we'll save it up for next game. Which is why I don't necessarily think it worked for basketball, but I do like. Not understanding or not being as familiar with soccer until maybe like the last couple of years, I can kind of see now how that really relates well to other sports, like how that actually plays well in soccer. Like if you really beat the shit out of your opponent two games and then you lose you happen to lose three of them, but you lose them only by one goal, it's not necessarily that clear that you are not the better team.
Yeah.
Apparently you can put up points in bunches on this other team. Right. You may actually be the better team.
That's what you're saying.
And finally, Mr. James Fikes asked a question I know is near and dear to JC's heart. Is LeBron better with the headband or without?
I haven't looked at the numbers like versus... It's a small sample size without the headband. But, I mean, athletes are very superstitious to a silly extent. Even I was when I played football in high school. It's a weird... he's probably the same either way. It's just...
We'll see.
Yeah.
We will see. We've got a long rest of the finals to go.
I will say that, you know, it does seem like a pretty inconsequential sort of, a little piece to your uniform kind of thing, but a headband really does kind of serve purpose. You know, it keeps sweat out of your eyes and things like that. So even if it's not better or worse with or without the headband, to some degree that is actually a piece of equipment that if you don't have it anymore, you're trying to get yourself, your body, you're trying to get used to sweat hitting your face, like sweat getting in the way of your vision.
Right. It can create some silly quotes, like the first game that he wore the headband back, somebody asked him about it, and this is to prove that my admiration for LeBron isn't all-encompassing. He does say silly things sometimes. His reaction to that question was, the headband was calling to me.
What, like Excalibur in the lake?
Yes.
Oh my god.
That's fucking stupid.
It's like, see, I'm...
They won.
It's like, I'm gonna go like... See, you say Excalibur, I'm going to like an anime where it's like, that's his like special weapon that all of a sudden a J-pop song comes on as he puts it on.
It's his +4 mace.
By the way, that is a badass shirt, which I would totally buy. Just, it says Excalibur and it's LeBron's head.
Everyone listening.
That's my idea.
I need someone out there to make this shirt for us. If you could do a really kick-ass design that says Excalibur, like even in the lettering of the movie, and then just LeBron's headband underneath, that would be awesome. We would sell that shirt. We would give you a cut of the profits.
I kind of wish the reporter would have asked him that to see if LeBron, like, I'm sure he knows what Excalibur is. But
really?
He might not.
Man didn't go to college. That's all I'm saying.
It's a pretty great movie. Hey, I'm gonna do another Cards Against Humanity prompt, and then the next one, Elliot, I'm gonna let you come up with the prompt.
Okay.
But this next prompt is, yeah, I don't understand the divisions of the NBA, but at least blank still makes sense to me. So you guys must now come up with what blank is, and they're looking through their cards, and I am singing the Dead Air song, "We don't need no dead air on our show, because it's bad and no one wants it." Oh, bear, 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 an electric guitar. Drum solo, Neil Peart.
Thank you, Elliot. And we can finish this question out. But speaking of James Fikes, he did ask us. He did mention, and I think the story we should go to next about Gallaudet Golovkin.
Yes.
So we'll get to that.
We definitely will get to. And also, he brought up something I think we should start doing because we never really did this. I think it would have been cool for us to do this out of the gate, but since we didn't, we can do it now. Where we do entire podcasts just explaining the minutiae of certain sports.
Yeah.
Like we could do a whole show on like. You know how you're watching football and you hear terms that you're just not familiar with? Like, what the hell is clipping or whatever?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
We could do entire shows. We're just like, okay, here's some of the finer points of some of these sports that you may not be as familiar with.
Shit, you pull out the rule book for the NFL, man? That could take, like, months.
Yeah, it's an ancient tome.
Yeah.
We'll have to sift through it like the Book of the Dead. Anyway, so, yep, the divisions of the NBA don't make any sense to me, but at least blank still does. At least a bag of magic beans still makes sense to me. At least man meat still makes sense to me. At least my inner demons still make sense to me. I'm going with inner demons. Yeah. Let me give you a black card, Elliot, but don't.
I got it back!
Yeah, okay. You got it!
I lost this one years ago.
I think it's when I knew Snoop Dogg lyrics you didn't know.
That was the negative one. It was when.
Is it the anime?
No, that's negative two. It was when.
Have you ever had one of these?
I had one when I used to live in New Orleans. But that was just like when I was 12. Back in 2006, before my first final at law school, I'll never forget it. I had just heard a really popular song from the 80s the night before. And, like, I thought it was a new song, so I went to my friend Annie, and I was like, Annie, I heard this great song. She's like, what is it, kiddo? Because she called everybody kiddo. And I was like, oh, it's about Jesse's Girl.
Oh, geez.
And it's new, and it's great. And she's like, what the fuck, Elliot? She's like, I'm taking this black card from you. This is a horrible... What is wrong with you?
It because you didn't know it was old, or because you were liking a Rick Springfield song?
Both.
Both. Okay, little column A, little column black. Okay. Cool, that's good to know. I appreciate that. So yeah, JC, segueing into this story that Mr. Fikes also suggested, should we just let James Fikes write our shows from now on?
There we go.
Maybe that's what we should do. Anyway, but yeah.
So I read about this on Twitter last night before he suggested it to us, but and I mispronounced his first name earlier. It's Gennady. Gennady Golovkin is a professional boxer from Kazakhstan. He's 33-0. 30 of those wins by knockout His last 20 wins in a row, including last night, all by knockout.
Insane.
Yeah. He's a...
Insane.
Fights in the middleweight class, which puts him at about 150 to 160 pounds, I think.
I think it's like actually 162. Let's see, what light heavyweight is, or heavy, or... I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like fat middleweight, skinny heavyweight, or something like that. I don't know.
The movie Heavyweights.
Yeah.
With Ben Stiller. Yeah.
And so, you know, I think with the big fight a couple of weeks ago that ended up being not a big fight, I think people have been paying more attention to boxing. And Showtime has actually had two weekends since that big fight of really great boxing. I forgot who it was that fought last weekend, but they had an amazing knockout.
That was Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah,
and, that was actually an HBO fight.
Almost knocked the dude's jaw off.
Yeah,
man, like it was Mortal Kombat, and he did a fatality. Yeah. It's pretty incredible.
And so Gennady Golovkin, you know, is becoming more and more popular. I think, and as is people tend to do, asked him about Floyd Mayweather, and he says, "Well, if Floyd wants me, he can get me."
So Floyd sent him a save the date card for 6 years from now.
Yeah, well, the thing about that is, so he's a middleweight, and I think he's probably going to pull the move that Ronda Rousey is rightly moving, but with Cyborg. They keep telling Cyborg she's going to come down to the weight. I'd imagine if Floyd Mayweather, if he wants to fight this guy is saying, well, you've got to come down and wait.
Right.
Yeah. You've got to come down to my level.
Yeah, even though Floyd Mayweather has fought as a middleweight before.
Yeah. By the way, a light heavyweight is 165 to 178, in case anyone was wondering.
I was wondering.
Which is 75 to 81 kilograms if you're from another planet that still uses the metric system.
165 to 178? That's a huge weight gap.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather fights as a bantamweight now, or
Mayweather? Oh no, it's super lightweight, something super like lightweight. That. I don't know. It's like
130 something.
It's like 139 to 146 or something like that.
Yeah, and he's fought at middleweight before, so I mean, in theory, if he wanted to fight this guy, he could, but he's probably not gonna.
Yeah,
and if he really wanted to, he could go the De La Hoya Bernard Hopkins route, because De La Hoya was going up either one full weight class or almost two weight classes to fight Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah.
When they were going to fight. And then when De La Hoya went up to that weight, like, he was just really sluggish in his first fight against somebody else, and he didn't like the way he felt. So he still wanted to fight Hopkins, but he went back down in weight to go back down to his natural body weight, and he fought Hopkins, like, 15 pounds lighter than what the middleweight, I want to say he was, like, 155 or something like that.
Yeah.
So if Floyd Mayweather really wanted to fight him, he really could, like, you know what, you stay your weight, I'll stay my weight, we'll fight under that weight terms, and I'll just come in feeling as good as I normally feel, you come in feeling as good as you normally feel, and we'll just fight.
Totally.
And the fight last night, I mean, I didn't see it, but I read about it. I forgot what round it was, but he had knocked him down, was on a knee, wasn't completely on the floor, the ref counted to 10, was still on a knee, and the ref was reprimanding the guy to stand up, because he had counted to 10, he just was just like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah. This isn't going to go good for me.
How do I tap out in boxing? I love this picture. I just found this picture of Golovkin knocking out Willie Monroe, because the snapshot, the instant they got this photo, it looks like Monroe is on the mat crawling away from Golovkin, like desperately trying to get away from him. It's just a really like brutal representation of how good Golovkin is. So
yeah, and from the style that I've seen, he's not super defensive. He's mostly entirely aggressive, and he just brings the heat.
Yeah, the few clips I've seen him, he looks like more of like a bullfighter, kind of like, you know, old like Roberto Duran and Marvin Hagler type. So, but I don't know if that's actually how he does fight. That's just how the clips make it seem. Like he's always prowling, always like coming forward, and I don't know if he necessarily takes shots or not, but like that's just kind of what he does. Like he's eventually, after maybe three or four rounds, he's just going to get to you. And then he's just going to be relentless.
Yeah. I can't wait to see this guy fight. I would gladly pay to watch that pay-per-view. But before we move into Elliot's prompt for Cards Against Humanity, I just want to throw out this quick Facebook thing that somebody was nice enough to point out for us on Twitter that I retweeted. Marcin Gortat of the Washington Wizards posted a picture of himself on his Facebook and then had this quote, "Ready your breakfast and eat hearty, for tonight we dine in hell." And it's hilarious because he really does look like a character from 300 in this picture. And I thought that was fucking
big,
hilarious.
Big giant guy, shaved head, huge beard. Yeah. Very menacing.
Yes, very much so. Elliot, what is our next Cards Against Humanity prompt, sir?
For my next trick, I will pull blank out of blank.
Ooh, it's a twofer. It's a twofer. All right. So, first one on top, second one on bottom.
Mm-hmm.
First one is awesome.
Say it again.
The second one sucks.
Oh, for my next trick, I will pull blank out of blank.
Nope.
Oh, sorry.
Top, bottom.
Top, bottom, top.
Pete, top. Wait. Kevin, bottom.
So, top?
Yeah.
Top first, then that?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
Top is the one you want red first.
Go.
Okay.
To make it sports later, we'll say Steph Curry for his next trick, we'll pull.
There you go. There you go. Steph Curry for his next trick, we'll pull blank out of blank.
Steph Curry for his next trick, we'll pull blank. We'll pull. Is this right? Like, we'll pull penis breath out of the clitoris. Good lord. Steph Curry, for his next trick, we'll pull geese out of a micro pig wearing a tiny raincoat and booties. Okay.
Raincoat.
And for his next trick, Steph Curry will pull Kanye West out of Brian Salisbury's butt.
Is that really what the card says?
You fucking
wrote that in. Yeah, I put that one. That was me.
Okay.
I got this expansion pack over Christmas that they actually put your name into a couple of them, so Steph Curry will be pulling Kanye West out of my ass, so hooray for me.
By the way, the raincoat sounds like the dirtiest of porns.
Yeah. Oh, look at that sweet, sweet raincoat.
Wasted my micro pig one.
No, penis birthed out of the clitoris was about to win until...
I love it when sentences like that happen during Cards Against Humanity. You know, penis breath was going to win, but that Brian Salisbury ass, though. Nah.
So I just feel like if Kanye West came out your asshole, he'd be bragging about your asshole. He'd be like, you know, man, Brian Salisbury's asshole's pretty nice.
I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to let you finish. But Brian Salisbury had the nicest asshole of all.
That's why I was in there. You should be happy I even showed up.
This is true. So we talked a little bit about Deflategate before, but since then, the NFL has officially brought down its punishment on Tom Brady and the New England Patriots organization. Now, I think when we recorded last, we were pretty much kind of in the same range about how many games we thought he would get. We thought he would start with six and be pushed down to four. Some of us thought four. I thought it would be three games that would be pushed down to two. What was the actual punishment?
The actual was four games.
That's under appeal right now?
Correct. It is under appeal. I think it's not going to get, I don't think it's going to get overturned because my initial tweet reaction was like, huh, game five is against the Colts. Interesting.
Huh. So you think that they deliberately picked that many games because they wanted to see the Patriots play the Colts anyway?
Yeah, that's me being my own conspiracy theorist.
Well, no, but I think what it is that's the suspension you get for performance-enhancing drugs automatically, is four games. So I feel like they are considering deflating the football to be a performance enhancement, so they're getting him the same punishment.
I feel like it's kind of like what we said last week, where it's like, if in that week before the Super Bowl, Tom would have come out and said, you know what, I did it, what are you going to do, suspend me? They wouldn't have suspended him because it's the Super Bowl. They would have fined him. We all would have been mad. But you know what he wouldn't be doing right now? Talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, dude, don't over it. Challenge the... What the fuck is wrong with... That's the arrogance I'm talking about. They flaunted the rules so many times. Like, what are you going to do? Suspend me? It's like, yeah, dick. That's exactly what we're going to do.
But we'll do two games.
Well, yeah. I don't think... I think JC was right on our last show. Like, Roger Goodell is never going to give anyone a two-game suspension ever again. I think he's learned his lesson, finally.
If I was the commissioner, I would just void their Super Bowl championship.
See? Thank you. That's exactly what should have fucking happened.
There's no... I don't care. Like, in for a penny, in for a pound. You cheat, you're done. Like, I don't care this degree of cheating. You cheated, right?
Well, we're done. And it's not just the degree of cheating. It's like, there's an established record now. Huh. There is a precedence here for this team doing this kind of thing.
And it leads to this attitude, well, so we cheated, so what? Well, fuck you with so what.
You no longer have that
championship.
Yeah. Fuck you with so
what. Or at least put an asterisk next to it in the record books.
And what kills me...
For something like that, no, I don't. I mean, not because it's deflating footballs, because... I guess to some degree, because it is a team sport, like, okay... Well, you know what? I'll put this back on you then. If you're at least consistent with this, and I'll say, okay, you know what? Fine, that's what you think. Yeah. Would you take it away from a team where they had players or a player caught cheating with performance-enhancing drugs?
Here's the thing: if it was a course of conduct from the higher up, yes.
Okay, well, this is where New England, you can't necessarily put that on them only because you may. I think we all agree that there's no doubt that the organization probably knew something about it.
Oh, exactly.
But the investigation into them itself states that the investigators believe they couldn't find any wrongdoing by the coaching staff or higher up in the organization.
Okay, but then I would have the investigation go further. But if they didn't find it, you know what? Keep the Super Bowl. But Tom Brady's gone for a year.
See, I think this is what we're getting into, is kind of part and parcel of the classic what is right versus what is lawful debate. Because, I mean, what's right is the whole organization should get their fucking asses kicked because there's no way they didn't know about it. However, if we're going by the letter of the law being the Wells report and what actually came out, if the Wells report says that the organization didn't know anything, then that's the final say on it. Then, you know, that's what we got to go with. However, what really chaps my ass is that I don't give a shit if you knew about it or not. You should have. You're the fucking coach of the team. That's your job, is you're responsible for the players on the field. And secondly, it's not the organizational fines and the taking away the draft picks. If you know anything about the Patriots, they don't do shit in the first round of drafts.
Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't fucking matter. They do all their work in the later rounds anyway. They will probably trade somebody to get back a first round pick. And not only that, but they got fined $1 million. They're going to save $2 million by not having to pay Brady for those four games. So, in effect... They're going to make $1 million off of this.
Okay, well, yeah. Then would you say you take away Seattle's championship? Because they also had, four players, or three or four players who were actually accused of performance-enhancing drugs.
But was that a directive of Pete Carroll?
Does it matter? Okay, so according to this, you're saying that, like, as an organization or as a coach, you should know that what it is your players are doing.
You know, I say yes. Because
under that, mm-hmm. you should know, technically, if your players are using performance-enhancing
drugs. And people do say it's kind of par for the course for a Pete Carroll-led team.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like, you can't, because at this point, if you allow this to keep going on and keep getting worse, you turn into the WWE. And I like the WWE, but it's not a real sport.
Yeah, eventually someone's going to be throwing chairs out onto the field. Yeah. Just hit him with that! And, yeah.
I love that, by the way.
No, if cheating becomes a part of the business, and this is just what we do, that's fine. Just don't call it a sport. Call it entertainment.
Well, and I still think there's a big difference, personally, between using steroids and manipulating the equipment of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at let's go to baseball for a second. Let's look at the way people react to someone using performance-enhancing drugs. Usually they get back in the game, okay, whatever, that was a bad chapter. But look at the way that people look at, like, pitchers who grease the balls or corked bats. Like, that has always been considered, like, the way more heinous crime because you're actually manipulating with the mechanisms of the game. You're not just enhancing yourself.
Yeah.
You're actually, you know, willingly manipulating the mechanics of the game.
I can go one step further, and I agree with you. I see your points, and they're good points, but, like, I was not one of those Saints fans who were like, oh, the NFL's being unfair about the whole bounty gate thing. I honestly think the Saints should have been out of the league for a year. I think they should have been just like, I think you should set an example. If you catch somebody doing something that heinous, putting bounties on people's heads to, like, hit them harder in a game that's inherently dangerous...
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think the game is less important than integrity, and, you know, just playing it fairly, because that's what a sport is. Like, if we're gonna debase all the NFL, which has already been debased. I mean, didn't the military had to pay them to honor vets? Apparently, like, we don't. I mean, it's not entertainment. It's not sport. It's just entertainment, and that's fine. I mean, I love watching NFL. Like, I'll still watch it. But I'm going to watch it now thinking, well, this is just fluff. It's not anything real.
Okay.
And that's fine. I'm just not going to... They don't then get to have this reverence towards the sport because it's not a sport.
Well, I think we all have very strong opinions on this. But, you know, just for the sake of, you know, devil's advocate and keeping the playing field level, I think someone should actually come in and defend Tom Brady. I think we should hear from the other side. We should flip the coin over. So let's do that. Let's bring in somebody who is actually going to defend Tom Brady.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, Boston Rob, go ahead.
No, first of all, to be confused with Broccoli Rob.
Yeah.
First of all, the Ted Wells report, the Patriots are taking defense in refuting that report. The text messages, taken completely out of context. Yastrzemski and McNally, when they said that Tom sucks, we're talking about Tom Chambers. Tom Chambers, former NBA All-Star, had a career average of 22 points per game, 7 assists versus the Celtics. That's a bunch of bullshit. What kind of athletic, what kind of white guy puts up numbers like that against the Celtics? Teams that got Larry Legend on it. Nobody's better than Larry Legend. But I digress. I can offer scientific evidence as to why Tom Brady didn't cheat.
Okay.
Number one, Tom is wicked good at football.
Yes, Buster Rob, this is not in refute.
Number two, Tom is wicked smart. Number three, Tom is married to Giselle.
Wait, what does that have to do with anything?
It's scientific.
just go with it, Brian. Okay.
Number four, he's the most handsome man on earth. Number five, my God, look at that chin. Number six, can I have his babies?
Wait. Are you asking to be a surrogate for Tom Brady's children?
Yeah.
Okay.
And number seven, if not, why not? And number eight.
Wait, what? If not, why not? Okay. Yeah,
if I can't have his babies, why not?
Oh, okay.
Chromosomes.
And number eight, the movie 2015. Genius. I should be able to have Tom's babies if I want.
That's true. You know, you bring up science as your rationale for these arguments, and I think the science that you're talking about in your later responses was investigated in the movie Junior. So maybe that could be a jumping off point for you, is to watch the movie Junior, and then we can figure out how you can, in fact, have Tom Brady's children, Boston Rob.
Was that the Schwarzenegger movie?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes, it was. Well, Boston Rob, you've certainly provided us with some pretty compelling evidence. I think the scales have been evened a little bit. It's going to be harder for us to make a judgment call, but at least we're more well-informed. Thank you, Boston Rob.
Go Pats.
Go Pats. All right. Well, that was Boston Rob. Thanks for calling in. I didn't realize we could have people call in, but now I know, and knowing is half the battle. So shall we do a new Cards Against Humanity prompt? Adam, you want to come up with a new one?
Sure, give me one.
All right. No, no, no. I want you to come up with one.
Just come up with one.
Just yeah, make it up. Make
fucking
it up.
Shit. Make no, it up. I don't want to. Just no.
JC, do you want to come up with one? JC, you were oddly silent during that last segment. But,
I was.
But
yeah, because I couldn't believe how dumb that guy was.
Magic will never tell you how we did.
I can't think of anything.
All right, I'll come up with one. Tom Brady could not possibly have deflated footballs because he was far too busy with something else. Blankety blank blank. He was far too busy with blank. Kind of feels like a dirty version of the match game. Have you guys ever noticed that? That's exactly what Cards Against Humanity is a dirty version of the match game from the 70s. Am I the only person that remembers the match game from the 70s?
I was thinking more Mad Libs.
Like Nipsey Russell would be like, oh, my wife came home the other day and sucked on my blank. It was never that, it was never that leading, but they were playfully
never that on
dirty.
The point.
Yeah, it was like, everyone's just like, dick.
The correct answer is popsicle.
Popsicle. So, Tom Brady couldn't possibly have deflated footballs because he was way too busy with harnessing the miraculous power of the atom to slaughter 200,000 Japanese people.
Jesus.
Or he was way too busy with grandma. Or he was way too busy with the penny whistle solo from My Heart Will Go On.
Or he was way too busy being Touchdown Tommy.
That is also true, Boston Rob. Thanks for...
Sounds like he's on Rugrats.
Thanks for finding a way to keep calling in, even though we don't have a call-in. I'm going to go with the penny whistle solo. My Heart Will Go On. I don't know why.
Once more.
You open the door to that fucking song getting in our heads again.
My favorite thing about Titanic, my favorite memory is... it's actually not my memory, it's my friend's. She was working at the theater when it came out, and she said that in the middle of an entire full theater, some boy who was like 11... who hadn't had a hard on yet during the nude scene was like, "Mommy, my peepee's getting hard," and just screams that shit out.
Wow. Wow. It is like, terrifying, isn't it? Your first erection?
He was like, really?
I know yesterday was real tough for me. What? Anyway, moving on.
And it wasn't during Titanic.
It was not during Titanic. It was during Sharknado. I can't explain it. No, I'm kidding. It was You Are Hunter from the future. So, JC.
Yes.
There was another story that we kind of came across before recording that I thought was a really cool sort of human interest story about a high school pole vaulter.
Yeah. So, we live here in Austin, obviously, and the Texas State High School Track Championships are taking place this weekend. And so I was reading about...
Was it college? I thought it was high school.
High school.
No. Oh, it is high school.
The Texas State
High School. Oh, not Texas State, the university. Correct. The State of Texas State High School. Okay.
Correct.
Same page. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Charlotte Brown from Emory Raines High School. I'm not sure where that is.
Oh, that place.
she placed third and won the bronze medal in the pole vault. And what's spectacular about her, she is completely blind.
So, wait. She won bronze in the pole vault and is blind?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Cool thing, the photo of her on the...
Really, Elliot? That is a blind girl, goddammit.
What are you
making stripper jokes.
So she does know how to work the pole.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh my God, Elliot. I would expect nothing less.
The picture of her on the medal stand was really cool because it's a picture of her with her seeing eye dog. Her dog's name is Vader, by the way.
That's name for a dog.
Yeah.
I love this girl.
So yeah, she's 16 years old. She developed cataracts when she was 16 weeks old. Blind pole vaulter, won third in state. Took an adorable picture on the medal stand with her seeing eye dog Vader.
It was a really, really cool sweet story. Picture. Yeah, no, it's a great story. I
didn't realize this was actually the state championships. Like, I thought it was just she'd gone to a, you know, because for track and field, there's like tournaments like all throughout.
Yeah.
All throughout the spring for the most part. I didn't realize it was actually the state championships. She's basically the third best pole vaulter in the state of Texas.
In the state of Texas.
Is blind.
And I think Adam said this when we were talking about it off mic. He's like, how would you like to be the kid who came in fourth? Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry. Did you just get beat by a blind girl? You did just get beat. And I still don't even if you want to make the argument like you can count the number of steps before you know exactly where to plant and how to get up there, it's like, you still have to know exactly where you are in relation to the bar at the top to know how to, like, you know, maneuver your way over it. That's what's really fascinating to me.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing. Like in essence, to be able to do the pole vault routine, like, you should be able to do it blindfolded, kind of like high jump. But yeah, the trick ends up being like, yeah, you don't know where the pole is that you've got to go over. And so, yeah, it's
you know what? Thing. How do you, okay, so she's been blind her whole life,
mm-hmm.
meaning she's never seen anybody pole vault before.
That's,
wow.
That's
the
other, yeah.
How that's do you, a like, damn good point.
Like, how do you teach somebody who can't see, has no concept of, I
she
guess,
knows how to work
of vision.
Stop saying that!
Of vision. How do you tell somebody, okay, when you get to a certain point, like, twist,
go
do
up it, on the pole.
Like, do twists, uppy, over, right. down, under, and then, like, put your hands up or something.
Uppy, over, down, under.
That's another really good point.
Track coach, Adam Charles. Just go uppy, overy, down, undery.
So I'm just imagining the Helen Keller scene. It's like, pull.
Yes.
Pull, Helen, pull.
Even that, like, how the fuck do you even do that? Like, somebody has no concept of communication whatsoever, and you teach them how to communicate.
Well, I mean, she was a really terrible pole vaulter.
That's probably
Helen Keller? Yeah, that's true.
Did she have kids?
What?
Sorry.
I don't know what's happening. I'm just trying to imagine, like, maybe the dog sits on the side of the track and barks, which is the point where she's supposed to plant the. I don't know.
I'm just imagining the dog dressed like the assistant from Rocky.
Yes, like Mick from Rocky.
No, I keep laughing because I keep thinking, wasn't there a Family Guy joke where it's like, yeah, Helen Keller was a really bad swimmer, and it just cuts to somebody pushing her.
Water.
I don't know that they've done that yet, but now that we've said it out loud, it's probably
Family Guy.
See, I mean, that aspect of it, I guess, is really fascinating to me. How do you teach somebody who can't see to do something that, to some degree, seems like it requires vision, if for no other reason than so you can see how it's actually done?
You, she might actually have an advantage in that. Maybe if you can't see it, it doesn't seem as insurmountable. Like, you're just like, okay, this is what I do. Okay, I'll do that.
I guess that's true.
Because if I'm looking at a pole, if I see people pole vault and long jump, and I'm like, I'm not fucking doing that. There's no way I could do that. Like, it stops you from starting.
Actually, you know what? A long jump, for the most part, seems, you know, a long jump, like the 100-yard dash kind of thing, those seem logical to somebody who is blind. Because it's almost like, you know what? Run as fast as you can after you, or for at least a long jump, run as fast as you can after you've taken like 20 steps, jump. Yeah. And then just, you're going to land in some sand, you'll be okay. That kind of thing. Or if it's the 100-yard dash, it's, or not the 100, or the 100 meters, just run until I tell you stop.
Yeah, maybe she's Daredevil, and she has, like, everything's on fire.
Oh.
She can just see things.
That would be interesting, actually, if she had that weird, like, the only good thing to come out of the original Daredevil movie
was his sense.
Yeah, that like, was the way really they cool. kind of showed how he sees the world was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Well, that and, like, when he kicked Michael Clark Duncan's knees backwards.
Yeah.
That was a good scene.
Yeah, that was.
And the entire movie, because the movie's good.
No, it's not! No, it's not, JC. We've talked about this. God damn it.
I know.
It's enter Boss and Rob.
Although it is where Ben Affleck met his wife, though, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Yep. His third-ish wife. Is there anything else we need to talk? We're good? Okay. All right, so we're going to wrap up the show with one more round of Cards Against Humanity. And here is the final prompt. Yeah, a blind pole vaulter, that's pretty cool. But have you seen blank? That is the final prompt for the show.
I'm going to hell for this one.
And while the guys are deciding on which ones to pick, I want to ask you guys to comment on this show. Comment either, tweet at us at ITLcast or put it in the comments of this post. Would you be interested in hearing, you know, sporadic podcasts where we just break down all the minutiae of different sports? If that's something that might be of interest to you, please comment on this post on oneofus.net or tweet at us at ITLcast. But again, the prompt, yeah, blind pole vaulter's pretty cool, but have you seen same-sex ice dancing? But have you seen Auschwitz? I should really read these in a regular voice first. But have you seen a thermonuclear detonation? Auschwitz wins, but I'm not happy with myself for it. Which means that Elliot has won this round of Cards Against Humanity.
I'm a horrible person, also a lawyer.
and the game, I think.
And the game. Yeah. Well done. Well done, sir. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. We will be back next week with more headlines, probably another game of some kind, and all that good stuff. But for now, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ITLcast and like the website on Facebook, facebook.com/oneofusnet. And hey, if you want to follow us individually, I'm at BriGuySalisbury.
At ITL Elliot.
At the underscore beef.
At JCDeLeon1.
And please do consider becoming a subscriber if you haven't already. If you have become a subscriber, tell your friends to do the same, because we've got a lot of cool stuff in there now for subscribers, a lot more cool stuff coming, and your support is how we are able to keep doing this. So for now, for Elliot, for Adam, and for JC, this is Brian signing off the way I always do, reminding you, in the words of the great Rocket Raccoon, when it comes to sportscasts on the internet, ain't no thing like us, except us.